The Seabed Job by Benjamin Russell, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Brianna was idly watching the camera feed from her underwater drone on the seabed, keeping an eye out for the shipwreck the Mark was after, whilst thinking of ideas for where to take Emily on their next date. Suddenly, she was jolted from her thoughts by a dark object appearing out of the darkness. She sat up and took over control of the drone so she could get closer to the object to investigate. It appeared to be a metal coffin-like thing, which sent a shiver down her spine and only intensified when she maneuvered to view it from above and realized it was an honest-to-God Iron Maiden. What was that doing there? She circled it for a moment, wondering what had happened for an Iron Maiden to end up on the seabed and hoping that there hadn't been someone in it when it had been dumped into the ocean. A stream of air bubbles started rising from its mouth as Brianna watched, making her shudder again, despite the logical explanation that there was a fish or other creature inside. But then she got the fright of her life when suddenly a human face appeared behind the face of the Iron Maiden, screaming and picked out ominously in the light from the drone. "Holy shit!" Brianna shouted, shoving her chair away from the counter violently. "What is it?" Elliot asked a moment later, ducking his head out from the galley and ready to leap to her defense if necessary. He relaxed a fraction when he saw there was no one else there and came closer to see why Brianna was staring at her computer in horror. She caught all that from the corner of her eye, but she couldn't tear her gaze from the feet on the screen. "There's someone down there." She jabbed her finger at the screen, even though most of the view was filled with the face screaming silently and thrashing around behind the mask. "What the hell?" Elliot muttered, putting a grounding hand on her shoulder, despite even him having been taken off guard. "A diver?" Parker's voice floated down from above, heralding her arrival from the deck of the boat they'd chartered into a cabin where Brianna had set up her station. "Someone trapped!" Brianna could tell her voice was still higher pitched than normal, but she was still struggling to process that someone had apparently been trapped inside an Iron Maiden on the seabed. She'd seen some awful things, both before and with Leverage, but this was definitely the worst. "How far away from our current position?" Parker asked, voice immediately slipping into a serious, all-business tone. Brianna glanced at the navigational data at the bottom of the feed, latching onto the request to fend off her horror at the situation. "About 500 yards northwest," she reported. "Elliot, get ready to dive. We're going to need a bolt cutter ready for when we surface again," Parker instructed before tapping her earbud. "There's a person on the seabed, and Elliot and I are going to rescue them. Sophie, tell the captain we're making a stop. Harry, gather all the blankets you can find and a first aid kit." Brianna immediately sent Sophie the coordinates to pass on to the captain, before Parker added, almost as an afterthought, "Oh, and some of Elliot's soup." "We'll get them," Elliot said lowly, squeezing with the hand on Brianna's shoulder before turning on his heel and disappearing off to prepare for the dive. "How are they even still alive down there?" Brianna was mostly thinking aloud as she pulled up another window so she could track and direct Elliot and Parker. "There might be an air pocket," Parker replied anyway, before darting off after Elliot. Time was of the essence, after all, if they were to have any chance of rescuing the trapped person before they drowned. Brianna watched as the submersible craft descended, gradually getting closer to the Iron Maiden in what wasn't actually a very long amount of time, but that felt like years as she waited with bated breath. The face had vanished out of sight again, the person presumably collapsing back down, and it was all Brianna could do not to think about how it was almost worse if they died while a rescue was so close. "We're going to save them," Sophie said softly as she sat down next to Brianna. "But what if Elliot and Parker don't make it in time?" Brianna glanced sideways at her briefly, hating that she sounded like a petulant kid. "Then we're going to retrieve the body and make sure they're returned to their family." Sophie's tone brokered no argument. Brianna gave a small nod, grateful for Sophie's certainty as she turned her attention back to the screen. "Approaching now," Elliot's voice reported through the comms as the headlights from the craft appeared in the feed from Brianna's drone. "I see them," Parker added, and shortly after the arms of the craft emerged in reach for the Iron Maiden, no doubt controlled by Parker whilst Elliot kept the submersible steady. Brianna and Sophie watched with bated breath as Parker finagled the claw grips into a position where they could get a good hold on it before it. The craft slowly rose up again, making sure the Iron Maiden was secure before speeding up. Trying not to think about the fact that the air bubbles had stopped, Brianna set her drone to return to the surface and monitored the ascent of the submersible right up until it was about to breach the surface. Then she jumped to her feet and hurried up onto the deck, knowing Sophie was right on her heels, and skidded to a stop next to where Harry was waiting with a concerned expression and an armful of blankets. The submersible was floating a short way away, and as Brianna reached the side of the boat, the hatch on top popped open. "Throw me the winch rope," he called out, as he and Parker switched places so that she had control of the craft. "We're going to have to pull it aboard before we can open it." Brianna looked around, but Sophie was already on it, grabbing the metal clip attached to the end of the rope and pulling enough rope free so that the slack would let it reach Elliot. She swung it a few times to get the feel of it and then let go, the clip sailing forward and straight into Elliot's outstretched hands. Then he jumped into the water and ducked under the surface, attaching the rope to the Iron Maiden before resurfacing again and swimming the short distance to the ladder on the outside of the boat. They'd come prepared to potentially retrieve something heavy, a fact which Brianna was very thankful for now as she darted across the deck to the winch controls, hitting the button to pull the rope in. Slowly but surely, the Iron Maiden was pulled out of the water, Elliot clambering on deck just in time to help Sophie and Harry guide it over the edge of the boat and down onto the floor. And as soon as it touched down, Brianna dropped the winch control. Instead, she snatched up the bolt cutters Elliot had got out earlier and went to town on the padlock, allowing the others to pull off the chain and finally throw open the Iron Maiden. Inside was a youngish Asian woman, wearing nothing aside from a few stray bits of seaweed, and she wasn't moving. Brianna prayed that she was just unconscious and watched, barely breathing, as Elliot lifted her out and laid her on a blanket Harry had just thrown down. "Is she still alive?" Parker asked as she clambered over the side, submersible now secured. Harry draped another blanket over her as Elliot knelt down to check for a pulse, cursing quietly before switching to CPR. The next couple of minutes felt like years, and then Elliot sat back on his heels, scrubbing a hand over his face. "We were too late," he said quietly. "She's gone."
"No!"
Brianna couldn't help her cry, dropping the bolt cutters with a thud. The mental image of the woman's face pressed against the face of the Iron Maiden flooded her brain, and she was sure she'd be seeing it in her nightmares, too. Harry set a hand on her shoulder, murmuring platitudes, which Brianna didn't really hear, and suddenly it was all too much, so she flung herself at him, pressing herself into his chest. Later she might be embarrassed, but now she needed physical comfort, and Harry was the one who was right there. He was taken off guard, but quickly wrapped his arms around her. And he might not be her actual dad, but his hug felt like it, and he let her bury her face in his chest as she fought back tears. She could hear the other three murmuring, but didn't pay it any attention. Not until Sophie gasped, and suddenly there was a sound of choking and spluttering. Pulling away from Harry, Brianna turned around to see Elliot rolling the woman onto her side as she threw up water, while Sophie had her hands to her mouth. And even Parker looked surprised.
"What?"
Brianna gaped at the sight. Elliot knew best out of all of them how to tell if someone was alive or not, so if he said someone was dead, they were dead. As soon as she finished emptying her lungs of water, the woman pushed herself away from Elliot, scrabbling along the deck until she was pressed against the edge of the boat, one of the blankets clutched to her, but looking like she'd fight tooth and nail if anyone came close. Unsurprising, given that she'd been locked in an Iron Maiden naked and thrown into the ocean.
"You're safe now,"
Sophie told her softly, crouching down so she was at a similar height but moving no closer.
"We found you and freed you, and we're not going to hurt you, I promise."
She waved her hand, indicating for the rest of them to move further back, whilst continuing to speak in that same low tone.
"I'm Sophie, And these are my friends, Parker, Elliot, Brianna, and Harry. What's your name?"
The woman stared for several moments before uttering a single word.
"Quinn."
As Sophie continued to talk to Quinn, attempting to reassure Quinn that she was safe, the others moved toward the end of the deck, staying in sight so she could see they weren't doing anything nefarious, while the distance would hopefully make her feel less crowded.
"I'll get her some clothes," Brianna announced, belatedly realizing that the woman's state of undress couldn't be helping matters, even if she did now have a blanket covering her. She ducked back into the cabin, briefly wondering about whose clothes would fit Quinn better, before deciding to just grab her own spare set. She added a towel to the top of the pile and snagged a hoodie that had been discarded on her chair in the common area. As she reemerged, she headed towards Sophie and Quinn, moving purposefully slowly until she was a few feet away.
"Here, I got you a towel and some clothes," she told Quinn, putting the pile down on the deck between them before backing up again. "They're mine, but hopefully they fit you okay."
"Thank you," Quinn replied carefully after a moment, eyes tracking Brianna's movements before fixing on Sophie again.
She darted forward to grab the pile of clothes before asking,
"How did you find me?"
"We were looking for a shipwreck," Sophie explained. "Brianna here was using her little camera thingy."
"Submersible drone," Brianna corrected, before her brain caught up to her mouth. Then she noticed that the conversation seemed to be putting Quinn a little more at ease, so she continued,
"It's got a camera with a live feed, so I can monitor it from up here, and that's what I was doing when I saw..."
She cut herself off before she said the Iron Maiden, because even though it was still right there on the deck, and they should really get rid of it or hide it, she figured it wasn't necessary to point out that detail of the awful thing Quinn had just been through.
"You," she finished instead.
Quinn had quickly shimmied into Brianna's clothes while she was speaking and now wrapped the towel around her head like a scarf before putting the blanket around her again.
"Do you want some soup?"
Brianna glanced over to where Harry had set the thermos earlier.
"It's hot, so it'll warm you up."
"Please," Quinn nodded, clambering to her feet, and looking ever slightly less like a cornered wild animal.
Elliot picked up the thermos and brought it over, unscrewing the cup and passing it to Brianna so he could pop the lid and pour out some soup into the cup.
"Here you go," he said, as Brianna held out the cup to Quinn. "It's winter vegetable. I made it myself."
Quinn eyed him for a few moments and then presumably decided he wasn't an immediate threat as she took the soup and immediately started drinking it, despite the steam rising, showing that it was still very hot. She soon finished the cup and noticing her gaze flicking to the thermos in his hand, Elliot held it out, ready to pour more.
"Have as much as you want."
He waited for her to start drinking again and then asked quietly,
"How did you end up down there?"
"When we didn't die from being hanged, they threw me into the sea."
Quinn's eyes flashed with anger, and the combination of her expression and her words chilled Brianna to the bone.
"She escaped after that and has been living her life ever since. So much for the two of us forever."
"Who did this to you?"
Brianna glanced at Elliot, wondering if he felt the same fury on Quinn's behalf as she did.
"We can help you get justice."
Quinn just laughed. A dry, slightly unhinged thing. Brianna glanced at Elliot again, but he looked as lost as she felt.
"The people who did this to me are long dead. No, the only one left is her. Andromache."
Brianna's immediate thought was that Quinn had been driven insane by the trauma that she'd been through. But then she thought of how the woman had definitely been dead when they pulled her from the sea, and suddenly her being unable to die seemed a little more believable.
"We can take you to shore,"
Sophie spoke up, easily hiding any confusion or disbelief.
"Is there any other way we can help you? Contact someone, perhaps?"
"Returning me to land is all I can ask for."
Quinn shook her head, appearing to push down her anger.
"I'll be able to find my own way after that, but thank you."
"We can ask the captain to return to land now, but it'll take a few hours," Sophie told her.
glancing briefly at Brianna for confirmation. I can wait. I'm just glad to not be drowning anymore. Well, they could all accept that. A while later, they were heading back to shore, abandoning their search in favor of returning Quinn to dry land. Brianna had called Hardison via the satellite phone to ask him to see what he could find about the woman and who this Andromache might be, and then for lack of anything better to do other than hover near Quinn, she returned to monitoring the feed from her drone. She may as well survey the area around their route as they went, and it would be a little less to search later when they returned to the sea. For the second time that day, however, she shot up in her seat as she spotted something on the screen. This time, thankfully, it was a lot less horrific. "I found the wreck," she shouted, pushing herself away from the counter and rushing into the main room where the others were gathered, chatting and trying to distract Quinn from her trauma. "I found the wreck," she repeated as she grabbed the doorway, almost swinging into sight. "We can steal the treasure out from under him and make him pay for hurting all those families." Quinn appeared to perk up in interest at those words. "You are treasure hunting for revenge." Brianna bit her lip, realizing she'd said too much, but Parker nodded. "We help people who can't help themselves, act where the law leaves off. Our current target rented out accommodation that wasn't up to code, and when his tenants complained, he kicked them out on the street and sued them for breach of contract." "Go get this treasure, then. I can wait a little longer to feel solid ground under my feet once more," Quinn said quietly but firmly. The boat docked in the harbor that they'd set out from, and as Brianna carried the padded bag that held her submersible drone up the jetty, she spotted a blond man leaning against the harbor wall a little way down from their berth. At first glance, she barely paid him attention, but then when she happened to look back his way, she did so at just the right time to catch him watching them. There were a few other people in the harbor, some working and some just watching the sea and or the boats, but something about this man in particular set off Brianna's spidey senses. So she kept watching him from the corner of her eye as she deposited her bag and turned so she was ready for the others to pass stuff to her. That was how she saw his reaction when Quinn emerged from below deck. It was subtle, but as she'd been purposely watching him, Brianna caught the shock that flashed across his face and body language briefly. She was going to warn Quinn, however, before she could, the other woman panned her gaze across the harbor. And as soon as her eyes landed on the man, she suddenly stopped moving, almost causing Harry to walk right into her. Unlike the man's, Quinn's expression was inscrutable. But the way her attention was solely focused on him, well, she had to know him. "Is he one of the people who put you down there?" Brianna asked before thinking back to Quinn's earlier wording and correcting herself. "Or, well, somehow connected?" Her words broke Quinn's concentration, drawing the other woman's attention to her, but then Quinn shook her head. "I've never met him, but he's family. A family member who I can't blame for abandoning me," she said cryptically, before starting moving again, striding with purpose past Brianna and towards the man. Brianna turned to watch, ready to raise the alarm, i.e. alert Elliot, if Quinn needed help. But all that happened was Quinn stopped a few feet away from the man and they both eyed each other warily, speaking quietly enough that Brianna couldn't hear what they were saying. They kept talking as the leverage crew carried all their stuff off the boat and as Elliot shook the captain's hand, pressing a generous tip into his grasp as he did so, suddenly enough that Brianna only caught the action because she'd been expecting it. Then once everything was piled at the end of the jetty, ready to be packed into the rental car once they brought it around, and the crew had gathered by the pile, Quinn finally gestured over to them. She led the man towards them, and once she had everyone's attention, she began introductions. "These are the people who rescued me," she told the man. "They're thieves." There were simultaneous protests and denials from Brianna and her crew because, yes, it was true, but they didn't go around advertising that fact. But Quinn just spoke over them all. "This is Booker. He's a forger and mercenary." She waited for the hubbub to die down before adding with an amused smile, "You're all criminals by today's laws. Criminals who help people." How did you know to be here? Brianna asked Booker, trying to figure out how he could have found them or even known that they'd rescued Quinn. He shared a look with Quinn before replying, We have a connection. He gestured between himself and Quinn with his thumb. When I knew to start looking, it didn't take long to find the only people operating in the right area and then track you to this harbor.
You make it sound so easy when I know for a fact that it can't have been.
Brianna raised an eyebrow at him.
I know people who know people who know people, Booker shrugged, although the corner of his mouth curled up a little in amusement.
Although I kept running into the kind of issues that make me assume you've got a hacker working with you.
Before she could reply to that, her phone started vibrating in her pocket, so she pulled it out to glance at the screen, seeing as she rarely got phone calls. Hardison.
Speaking of, she swiped to answer and put the phone to her ear, gaze still on Booker. Hey.
There's a mercenary with a weirdly little internet presence after you, Hardison said in lieu of a greeting. Or, well, the woman you rescued.
Yeah, he seems friendly, she replied, giving Booker a crooked grin. I hear you've been fending him off.
He's there?
Hardison exclaimed. I called as soon as I noticed y'all were back on land, but I expected that you'd have a few hours at least before he could reach you.
I'll message you later, Brianna told him, knowing that it was only a matter of time before they went their separate ways.
Talking to Quinn and Booker took precedence over talking to her brother now that the urgency was over.
We're okay, she added in a quieter voice, hearing the worry in Hardison's voice and knowing all too well how it felt to know her friends were in danger but be unable to do anything to help due to being at the other end of the comms but physically elsewhere.
Let me get this straight, Harry spoke up for the first time since Booker had appeared. The two of you have never met before, but you're connected in a way that means you, he pointed at Booker before continuing, were able to tell that Quinn here was not only alive despite being trapped on the seabed and get enough information to track her and us to the specific harbor. Also, you came to find her because of that connection.
Booker chuckled dryly, somehow projecting amusement at Harry's words while seeming distinctly unamused with the wider situation.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Any hope that Brianna had that he might go on and explain the whole situation was dashed when he added, She's a friend of a friend.
It was definitely a massive understatement, but given that they'd only just met and didn't have the same mysterious connection that Quinn and Booker had, Brianna didn't think they were going to get any more of an explanation. So she'd have to find out herself.
I bet we could help each other out sometime, she stated lightly, given our similar lines of work, so here.
She pulled out her phone again and quickly opened an app that Hardison had built and that she'd improved upon and found Booker's phone. It was likely a burner and had pretty good security, but she piggybacked on the network provider's connection to send a notification through the system that would normally be used for emergency alerts.
That's how you can contact me.
She gestured her phone at him and grinned when he pulled his out and snapped his gaze from the screen back to her.
If you've gone up against Hardison, then you must have a setup with a secure connection.
Booker blinked in surprise, his expression changing from impressed to shocked.
Hardison? He's your hacker?
Then his gaze narrowed and he stared at all of them in turn,
which means San Lorenzo 2010. That was you.
Brianna was aware of Parker and Elliot subtly tensing next to her, and she caught Sophie's expression out of the corner of her eye, the one she always got when something reminded her of her late husband. Harry just looked confused. But before any of them could say or do anything, Booker spoke again.
Good job.
He sounded distinctly impressed and on a different level to his reaction to Brianna getting past his phone's security.
I was watching that situation in case there was a job for my crew, but I'm glad you stopped at getting at bad.
Turning his attention back to Brianna specifically, he looked her up and down before giving her a wry smile.
I'm guessing you weren't there, given that you must have been, what, five?
Hey, she protested.
I'll message you, he continued, placating her.
Now that that's agreed, we should go, Parker spoke up, using her leader voice. We have a job to finish.
And you have a lot to catch me up on, Quinn said to Booker, before turning her gaze to Brianna and the others.
Thank you again for freeing me. I'm in your debt. I'm just glad I spotted you, Brianna replied, running a hand through her hair and trying not to think what would have happened if she hadn't. Perhaps we'll see each other again, but for now, goodbye. Quinn nodded at them and then turned on her heel and strode off down the harbor, Booker keeping pace after giving a small wave.
If their crew is who I think they are, I've heard all sorts of rumors.
Elliot's voice was hushed and awed. A lot of them I dismissed as impossible. More impossible than a woman being hung and then locked in an Iron Maiden at the bottom of the sea and still walking away? Brianna asked as they retrieved their gear and started toward the vehicle awaiting them.
It does raise a few questions, he admitted, looking thoughtful.
As they piled into the Land Rover and drove off toward the final stage of the job, Brianna got Elliot to recount all the stories that he'd heard about the other crew, which had included the mysterious Andromache. And the more she heard, the more determined she was to find the truth. Once they dealt with their mark, she was making it her mission to get Booker to tell her. If these people really kept coming back to life, well, Brianna wanted, no, needed to know. The end.